A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A TV crew stands on a road in the desert.
We get one kick at the can here. There is no reset tonight, no reset.
There's about 14 gallons of gas on the truck, and then there's 2 gallons of gas in that car.
A drone flies over vehicles rigged for explosion.
My name is Zack Snyder. I am the director of this film. I co-wrote it. I am the producer, and I am the director of photography.
Mark!
Ready?
A fireball erupts as the vehicles collide.
That touches every part of the development.
We are taking the iconography that we know of Vegas and then destroying it. There's entertainers, there's zombie Elvises, there's zombie showgirls. The zombie tiger, since they don't exist, are gonna be CG.
The design and everything we've kind of done around the Alphas, it's really fun to see how scary they can be.
I really had an amazing time putting together this movie.
Birds appear, creating an army of the dead. Zack Snyder, director, co-writer, producer, cinematographer.
I made a movie called Dawn of the Dead a long time ago. There's a really cool tone to Dawn that James Gunn had infused into it.
Deborah Snyder, producer.
When Zack did his version of Dawn of the Dead, it reinvigorated the zombie genre.
It had like great zombie nostalgia.
Ana de la Reguera as Cruz.
And I love the filmmaking. I love how the shots feel very new and fresh. And also it has his mark.
Uma Qureshi as Geeta.
So good at creating these beautiful, memorable cinematic moments in all
Dave
of
Dave Bautista as Scott Ward.
His visual touch, I think that's what he's brilliant at.
Good, one more.
Wesley Collins, producer.
One of the things that I really enjoy about how Zack crafts stories is the fact that he's not afraid to embrace the roots of a genre.
Okay, good.
Amari Hardwick as Vandero.
Zack Snyder is no short, the student of zombie movies.
Ella Purnell as Kate Ward.
Aware of how to elevate, you know, how to make it real life.
I really appreciated this kind of world where you could have fun but not make fun, where you could genre bust but be self-aware but never wink at the camera.
I live my life in full honor.
We got it.
This is deep zombie storytelling.
We've kind of dealt on almost the same playing field for a while. We've had lots of zombie movies and TV shows. I always find when there's something that makes it a little different, it's like, what's the evolution of it?
He has this huge creative vision for the film that can't be contained in any sort of capacity.
So you shoot him, boom.
Zack works hands-on with an actor, figuring out a fight sequence.
Right after Dawn, I kind of had this idea for this zombie heist movie in Las Vegas.
I love a good heist movie. The ultimate heist is to go into Vegas where there's tons of money, but what if it wasn't the police? What if it was zombies that you had to face?
When I was thinking about that, I thought, how do you take all the sort of genre tropes and stack them on top of each other? They're gonna nuke Vegas. They've got a ticking clock, and there's another kind of zombie in the city that nobody knows about, as well as putting on top of that this heist concept that raises the stakes again. So it's not just survival. There's greed involved, and everyone's sort of motivations are different.
A character blows an air kiss to the decapitated head of the queen zombie. Words appear, deconstructing Las Vegas.
I was really aware of the social commentary that comes from a good zombie movie, especially like Dawn of the Dead, which is the wish fulfillment of being in a mall with no rules. And I think that Vegas is then the next ultimate playground and or battleground. There's a weird, super fun world. Everything is an extreme of reality in every way. And especially if you put zombies into that equation, you end up with a really amazingly fun, but also frighteningly real picture of ourselves.
Behind the scenes, Zack spins a roulette ball in a casino.
Oh no, Black 13.
The biggest challenge was how to create a post-apocalyptic Las Vegas.
A helicopter plummets.
We quickly realized to shoot this practically in Vegas was an impossibility. It was not going to give us what we needed. So we talked about the various paths to create that.
My name is Marcus Terramina, and I'm the visual effects supervisor. The strip is somewhere around 4.8 miles long. We knew it'd be our biggest challenge as far as visual effects is concerned. One of the first things I wanted to do is sit down with Zack and the production designer and come up with where we were going to travel in Las Vegas, and then figuring out where our practical sets lie and where our digital sets lie.
We mapped it all out. We decided which intersections we were going to build, where we were going to put our Bly Casino that made sense within the strip. Anything that the actors touched or walked on was going to be real and practical, and we built it on a backlot in New Mexico.
I'm Julie Berghoff. I'm the production designer. We brought in garbage trucks, buses, the cars, the taxis, to make fake rubble here would blow away because it's so windy here. So we had 30 truckloads of real rubble dumped, so that's why it has real rhubarb in it. It's the real deal, which makes it more exciting.
All the tops of the building, the skyline, the bigger aspect that give you that scale of Vegas was gonna be created in the computer. While we've been shooting in our fake Vegas set, we have a team in real Vegas scanning everything.
I'm Scott Cedarleaf with Cedarleaf VFX. We're a 3D capture company.
A 3D scanner turns.
LiDAR stands for light detection and ranging. This is basically a point of light that this machine shoots out, and at that point, it creates a point in space. When you do that billions of times like this scanner can do, it basically creates a digital representation of the entire set.
Traffic moves along the Vegas Strip.
There are a couple ideas that I had, and one of them was this camera that they used a lot in architecture, construction, and engineering called a Phase 1 camera. And I saw some really impressive uses in that field, and I thought that there's potential that we could translate that to visual effects. I thought of if we can fly it on a drone, we could capture what we would not be able to on lifts. Over 12 days, it involved a team of 12 to 14 people, still photography on lifts, as well as terrestrial LiDAR, and then fly the LiDAR on the helicopter and traverse the entire strip. So with the motion picture data, combined with the still photography that we took, combined with the terrestrial aerial LiDAR, we got this beautiful picture as a 3D point cloud of the entire Las Vegas Strip.
We put it in the computer, and then we break it all down.
When Marcus and I first started talking about like what Vegas would look like, you know, I did a bunch of doodles. The idea was that the sort of glory, the icons make it through so that as you look at it, you know where you are. And it's a fine line between how much destruction and having enough remaining that it was, of course, still iconographic.
We'll work with visual effects and they make a little movie of it. And then I'll take it and just do sketches on it and try to concept more of the deterioration of it and what it should look like. And then I'll give it back to them and then they'll give it to their 3D artists and those 3D artists will bring it to life.
We've had a really fun time to kind of deconstruct Vegas and turn it into like a giant haunted mansion. And I think we really pushed it as far as we could.
A zombie clings to the side door of the helicopter as it flies past a Statue of Liberty replica. Words appear, the Shamblers.
When we did Dawn, we didn't really have Shamblers. We had fast-running zombies.
Matthias Schweighofer as Dieter.
Typical kind of zombies we know. The Shamblers, like,
I always liked Shamblers, but I felt weirdly sympathetic toward them because they're just sad.
Special is this, where he goes, he holds him as long as he can.
The poet warrior side of Zach that decided to make the Shamblers in that way that some of us, actors who are charged to play characters taking these zombies off the earth, you would kind of pick up this element of the Shamblers that makes you feel bad for them.
Our team is pretty much used to killing Shamblers, and so they understand, you know, shoot them in the head and then move on. Or don't, if you don't have to. Save your ammo, because it's over there. It's not going to get to you.
Dieter discovers a sleeping Shambler.
Don't touch them.
We've worked with Fractured Effects for the past 10 years, and Justin Raleigh is amazing because he has such an attention to detail.
The directive was, like, make me some classic zombies that are, like, iconographic and really easy to read. The movement was kind of similar. You know, I want to know where I am.
Justin Raleigh.
It's been done so many times, so you want to put a spin to it, but you also have to be a little bit true to what the audience believes it's supposed to look like. Each stage is based on our timeline. It's how the body would start to decompose within our very dry Vegas environment. They start off initial bite, the virus enters the system, they become basically a dead person. They look pale, they start getting a little hint of some vein work, and then as they progress, you start stage two, starts getting more liver mortis and bruising, and they start getting kind of brown, rotten tones appearing in them. The blood starts looking more coagulated and dried. Stage three, they start looking more emaciated, so you start seeing the bone structure around the orbits of the eyes starting to come out. You start getting more wrinkles in the neck, and tonally they start shifting towards this dry, leathery tone with gray hints to it. And then once you get to stage four, our most extreme, they're extremely leathery without any color. We tried to get a lot more realistic with all of them.
Justin did a great job helping us find a way to create the volume of Shamblers, is because when you have 100 plus extras, all that need elaborate makeup, you have to find ways to find efficiencies so that you can get the work done, but that doesn't compromise the look or coolness or the texture of those characters. Justin helped us come up with some great solutions in terms of various sheer shirts that have a printed look to them that's reminiscent of the body paint that some of the foreground characters have. We created custom masks that are painted in the style of our foreground characters so that at a certain layer in the background, we can speed up our makeup process by using masks in these shirts. And on a day when there's hundreds of extras, that shorthand becomes very valuable in making sure that we have the coolest zombies we can on any given day.
What they do with the zombies is great. I don't know. There are so many, the way they're dressed. It's just so detailed. I think it's also great for Zach because everywhere he puts the camera, you can see something interesting.
Stephanie Porter, costume designer.
It was important to create the zombies with something in their costume that reflects back to the essence of their character. By the end of the show, we will have thrifted, fitted, aged, destroyed, and zombified about 40,000 pieces of clothing.
Our non-prosthetics are about an hour. If they're fully detailed prosthetic pieces, they're about 2 hour makeup. We've had a few that have gone up to three, like some of our vault shamblers. They just had a lot more working gags that went with them.
An actor wears prosthetic teeth and contact lenses.
Let's do it.
Zach directs a shot for the movie. A special effects team inserts blow darts into an actor dressed as a zombie. In a scene from the movie, bullets penetrate the zombie. Blood and body parts fly into the air. Outside, a horde of zombie extras move down the street.
When you cast the extras in the film, they all have a zombie walk that they know. You don't have to teach them. You have to correct them. No, that's not how we're doing it, but they all have one. No one says, like, how does a zombie move? Everyone has an idea.
Guys, that's good pace.
Part of that challenge was, how can we capture that movement? Our stunt team's done such a fantastic job, and we want to replicate that over our hundreds of alpha zombies and shambler zombies that we're ultimately going to have to create.
Kyle Dunleavy.
We're using the same performers who've been doing the actual zombie actions in the scenes. These guys are putting on the suits, and we're getting them out here doing the same movements so that we can populate shots.
And one of the script pages called for this big zombie horde breaching a berm and coming over that berm. When I read that, I had this idea that we could use these inertia capture motion suits called X-Sense suits.
Eric Jacobus.
There are no cameras. The entire motion capture system is within the suit itself, and it all connects to a router that goes into the computer. Since there's no camera system, they can go out into the world and record anywhere that we want. So we could even skydive with these X-Sense systems. So we don't even need a computer to do it. You could literally hit the button on the body pack and go skydiving, and then hit the button, it stops recording, and then you have a take of skydiving. It's really cool.
We're recording it and watching it as we go so we can direct it as we want, which is really nice. Back in the day, you'd have to sort of wait a few days to process the data to see what you've got. So sometimes if you get your knee popping out sideways, you correct that right away. And there's really no limits or no constraints.
With 4 to 5 hours of performances, we built our entire library for Army of the Dead. It was just the ease of use of the X-Sense suits that really helped achieve that whole horde that you see in some of our shots in Army of the Dead.
The final shot is a composite of computer-generated zombies layered into shots of the set.
I knew I wanted to give as many looks as possible to our crowd based on what Zach had curated with the makeup effects team, wardrobe, all the departments. When we build digital characters, you have to capture them in a certain way. And often that way is costly. It takes a lot of time to set up and process. So the Shambler Scrambler was a homebrew setup that we created to capture as many zombie looks as possible for our digital hordes.
They're going to be duplicating a lot of the shamblers to reproduce hundreds and thousands of them. We're trying to figure out how to do a character scan that's quick, still gets good quality and good textures. So we came up with a system that we would keep the subject or the character stationary, and we would spin around them with a camera system. And we fire the cameras, and we can get about 260 images. So the more images you have, the better the mesh and the textures are going to be. We then take those pictures and we put them into reality capture. And this is kind of an output that we're pretty happy with, getting really good textures. And this has been unedited. We stitched it together and we spit it out. That this takes about
7 to 10 seconds to do. That's how long it takes us to walk around the character.
Zach directs outside.
I'm gonna be here.
He pretends to be a zombie.
The instance of the opening montage when the commander is on the tank, I believe we'd had somewhere around 150 extras there, which we tried to utilize to duplicate the foreground a bit. Aside from that, that's populated with probably another 8,000 to 10,000 zombies through the depths of the Las Vegas Strip.
In a scene from the montage, explosions detonate along the strip. In close-ups, the zombie general and queen gnash their teeth. Words appear, the alphas.
What we did in our movie, there's another evolution that happens with zombies where this idea of what we would become if the zombie play made us stronger as opposed to decomposing.
I've never seen a movie that goes into the essence of zombies in this way.
Zach did a great job in a way to give zombies more human behavior back with Zeus and the queen because they just want to survive. That's crazy, yeah. New species, oh my God.
You have alpha zombies that are like superheroes. They have superhero qualities. You have superhuman qualities.
We use like really great stunt performers to be them. So whatever the scariest stuntman can do, they can do. When you actually see that, what that means, it's pretty scary.
Stunt performers leap over slot machines.
Our stunt coordinator, Damon, who is a legend in the game, did a hell of a job rounding up some of the greatest parkour cats, martial artists, free runners. It's just amazing what these guys are able to do.
You can imagine if like a wolf had a human body, like how they would act. They're predators in the end, so they're hunting. There's an alpha and there's a way of like organizing them through intimidation.
Zach wanted alphas look to be different, but yet they still had to look like they were in the same world. So that's quite challenging.
We wanted to do something that's really translucent, something that's more feral and aggressive, something that's alert and aware of what's going on, opposed to your classic zombie that is just stumbling around, rotting away. We went through a lot of different variations in design with Zach. We want to give him as many Photoshop options and 3D model options as possible, so we can really hone in on what the final looks will be. We did that with the Shamblers and all the other alphas as well. Figure it out on paper, and then we start going into the sculpting process. We really kind of started looking at translucent shrimp, weird aquatic kind of things to get that look to the flesh. I think Zeus is the perfect example of what the alpha should look like. He's the most evolved in this process. He's the essence of that look. So Zeus, he originally started around 3.5 hours to do the look. Now we have him in under 2, and that's 3 makeup artists putting on those 24 prosthetic pieces.
A time lapse of the transformation.
Queen is a little closer to Zeus. Let's say got a little more of the essence from Zeus. So she's a little more evolved compared to some of our other alphas. She is also about 22 prosthetic pieces. So she's silicone prosthetics on her arms, silicone prosthetic across chest, face, full wig, contact lenses, teeth.
In a scene from the movie, a weighted cord wraps around the queen and immobilizes her.
The queen decapitation had a lot of moving parts, from a full fake body to an insert body that we actually used with the garrote to cut the head off.
Even if you go like, ah, come on!
Yeah, okay.
Like a little like...
Yeah, there you go.
The queen's head falls off.
And then a complete animatronic head.
It's a radio-controlled head. Has jaw and eyes.
Eyes left, right, up, down, okay. And then some snarl.
And tracking eyelids.
So she's really the only full animatronic piece that we had. So 2 puppeteers to run it, a lot of mechanical aspects, and then functioning traditional practical effects gags and blood gags.
In the movie, the queen's head is tossed over the side of a building. A large crew applies zombie makeup on actors.
We have a very large crew. We have 35 makeup artists, and that'll be about 6.5 hours to run 150 alphas through the works with Zeus, Queen, Zeus double, and the general. We've been able to keep it really, really tight.
Just to be enveloped by hundreds and hundreds of alphas and Zeus and the queen. And
Theo Rossi is Bert Cummings.
Like realm, literally their kingdom, to have to be dragged in there as a human and to be pulled in while you're laying on this cold floor and there's hundreds and hundreds of zombies and they're all growling at you and spitting blood and yelling. It just is incredibly frightening.
I think the end result is definitely unique. It's something that I don't feel like I've seen in this type of genre. It just has an ethereal kind of weird quality to it.
The zombie general raises his fist in the air. The horde cheers. Outside, the general sits atop a horse. Words appear, the zombie horse.
My name's Gabe Bartalis. I'm a special makeup effects artist and creature constructor. Zach and I talked about it, and we all liked the idea that it was a police horse, something that was maybe a foot patrol in Vegas, you know, keeping the riffraff under control. We knew that it wouldn't be slimy and drippy. We looked at pictures of when animals, specifically deer and horse, decay, and what's left is all the veins and arteries. It becomes this mesh of moss. There's the sculpting of the muscles, of the bones, of the skin, the way I paint it, the way I weather it. The challenge is a horse. The sheer velocity of the animal is a real thing to consider.
An official monitors the horse on set.
Sort of cooling tent or indoor, like super cold place to walk the horse into.
Yeah.
There's a real horse under there. His name is Ace. Me and my team are animal lovers, so we had to take care with this horse. So a lot of care was taken and many, many tests to make sure the suit is comfortable on him. Once we had a pattern we liked, we put it on Ace and ran it around him. We looked at our stress points, we looked where it was baggy, and we literally marked it like we were tailoring a suit. The undersuit is a mosaic of zippers, patches, sewing. It's really the engineering and I think the cleverness of the suit of how it goes together. I like to ground myself in reality. So when you're seeing the horse, you're like, well, yeah, that's where the bones would be moving. The ribs would crunch like that. The muscles would shift. And it's great because it still has the flexibility we want, but it has that science to it that if a vet is looking at it, is gonna go, that's it. That's exactly what that would look like, except it's reanimated.
Really beautiful, though, in a gross way.
The intricate costume covers the horse's entire body. A tiger leaps onto an abandoned car. Words appear, the zombie tiger.
We have a zombie tiger in the movie, one of the Siegfried and Roy-style tiger that's just stalking malls and intersections of a war-torn Vegas. That's also cool, and it's just been a crazy experiment.
He stops up here for a second while you guys are hiding.
Zach stands in front of an outdoor green screen.
I spoke with Zach about, okay, like, how does the zombie tiger act? And how do we make it unique and challenge ourselves so we're not just putting the same tiger with the same movement? And really dove deep into the character of Valentine. Luckily, Zach had some early concept art to go on, so I wanted to give him something that was more of a photoreal concept based on that initial piece of art that he gave me. And I walked Zach through the process of basing Valentine on a similar sized white tiger. Sapphire was the name of the tiger we were capturing. We used that footage both for animation, look development, for lighting, but then in the end giving it a little bit of character because it's a zombie tiger. The next step was obviously creating those correct proportions and then figuring out what a zombie tiger would look like. And Zach and I had a lot of discussions about, okay, this tiger has been in this grimy, dirty, dry place for 5 to 6 years. We discussed the fur, the matting on the fur and the kind of manginess to it. And we wanted her to feel threatening, so we wanted her to have some muscle mass. We also wanted her to feel a little bit emaciated, right? So we want to have some blood, but it's dried blood, but it can't be this punchy red. It has to be like a darker, crustier version of it.
A stunt performer in a green unitard portrays the tiger. Layers of digital images create the final look.
And then from there, we just continue to develop. And at a certain point, Zach was just like, yep, it's good. The Martin mauling sequence is definitely my favorite of the movie. We took a lot of care to that sequence. It's a lot of fun, especially the ending.
Amazingly, this isn't the first time I've been killed by a tiger on a movie, but it is the first time I've been killed by a zombie tiger.
Garrett Dillahunt as Martin.
He worked really closely with our amazing stunt team. For believability, he wanted to do as much of it as he could.
The stuff I've never gotten to do before. I've never been on wires for that big of a stunt, to be suspended in the air and sort of whipped around by an invisible tiger and having to do those reactions. Like, that was a little sore when I just did that, because of all the...
He points to his neck.
But I'm proud of it.
The digital tiger replaces the stunt performer.
And so now we got to move it into the next phase of taking that animation, taking that photography we shot with the stunt person, doing the performance for eyeline and also for interaction with objects, and melding that all together and really coming up with a believable character with the right interaction with everything in its environment, with a threat to it. I really do believe we successfully executed Valentine.
Zach operates cameras on set. Words appear, the cinematography. In a photo, Zach balances a camera on his shoulder.
Photographically, it's been a really fun experiment. Work with these cameras and create this world visually through lensing it and being particular about the look. I was a director cameraman, you know, in the commercial world for 10 years, 11 years. The majority of the spots I shot myself. And I just felt like on this, it just felt like a great opportunity to sort of continue that conversation.
By the time I got to make a giant superhero movie, you're on a big stage and you got all your monitors and I don't even know where the cameras are. They're over there somewhere. I had this idea where I was like, I just want to like go film it myself. I know how to do it. Why wouldn't I do that? Or just like make it more intimate, get the crew, get the actors. I can just, you know, when I'm shooting, I'm like this.
He picks up a camera.
The actor's right here and I'm like, okay, look, that was cool, but let's do it like that. Okay, ready, go. It's an incredibly organic process.
He's the director of photography at heart, so he knows exactly what's happening, what he's shooting, what he's seeing in his mind. And you just kind of are near him and with him and feel it.
Have an amazing team working with me in the camera department. That's been really just a great experience.
Do you see what I see?
Zach lies on the ground.
We shot the entire movie without putting a stop on any of the lenses. This is the AK Red Monstro and has a big giant sensor.
It gives a very shallow depth of field. So in the dark scenes, in the zombie scenes, it gives you this great quality where unless it's right there and it's right in front of you, it gets mysterious and creepy pretty quickly as things fall off.
My favorite lens that I shoot with my Leicas were these Canon Dream lenses that I got off of eBay. It was made, I believe, in the 1960s by a Japanese lens maker and then rebuilt them in these cinema housings. Part of the thing I love about them is there's a lot of flaws. The bokeh and the whole look is so outrageous and crazy that I just had to make a movie that way.
None of the two lenses are the same. It really gives this incredibly organic and sort of beautifully soft look that I thought was a great contrast to this incredibly hard, unapologetic zombie film. And I just felt that those two make a beautiful marriage. The team that have to like deal with me saying no stop ever have risen to the challenge and done an amazing job. The movie's way more in focus than I thought it would be.
I saw some of the camera tests and I was automatically just visually captivated. Like I couldn't look away, it was so interesting.
To use these crazy lenses like this was a risk, actually. That risk really paid off in the end, but that was a very difficult challenge to really get our digital world and digital characters and everything to kind of click.
It's been an incredibly artistically satisfying experience working with this team, with those cameras, with those lenses, with this subject matter. It's been really fun.
Zach and his crew pose for a photo.
One of the things that is most exciting about doing Army of the Dead is getting to revisit the zombie genre. We had so much fun making Dawn of the Dead. It's great to get to dive into a particular world and just have fun with a zombie film that also breaks outside of the scope and scale you would normally expect.
Shamblers move through a casino.
To set this zombie film in Vegas. Everyone around the world has their own experiences with Vegas or their own impressions of what Vegas is. So to get to play on all those things is really fun.
One of the most amazing experiences I've had making Army was that I pitched them a crazy idea about zombies and Vegas. My partners at Netflix were like, this sounds amazing, go do it. And they've been nothing but supportive and it's been an amazing experience. In the end, you're gonna get that pure idea, and we ended up with, I think, the best movie I could imagine.
A montage of clips from the movie. A flipped gambling table knocks down Shamblers. A child clings to her mother as a zombie horde surrounds them. The zombie general tears bloody flesh with his teeth. He sits atop the zombie horse and raises a staff overhead. The zombie tiger roars beside him. Title, Army of the Dead. Copyright 2021 Netflix. All rights reserved.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.